Rabbi said this week, this parsha is a mechuborim, Tazria and Metzera. So we'll try to talk a little bit on both, connecting element of both parshias. Thank you, Shekhar. So, of course, the most... Mic is on? What? It's on? It's interesting. No, battery's okay. Okay. What? None of this? No. Okay. So, of course, the first thing to be aimed on is the fact that Chazal questioned the positioning of this parsha over here. Chazal... Rav Simloi, Rashi brings down the famous Rav Simloi that says that really the last parsha spoke about Tumah v'Tahara of the behemoth. And this parsha talks about the Odom. This parsha and next parsha talks about Tumas Odom. And Tahara's Odom. So Rav Simloi says as follows. Omer Rav Simloi, K'shem she'yitzirosu shel Odom achar kol behem b'chayev oiv b'maisi b'reishis. Just like when man was created, he was created last. After everything else, so too, kach toirosoi, the Torah that relates to Adam, was also achat toiras behem achayavoy. From beginning to end, this is a plea. What a Chazal telling us? They're telling us that purposely the Rabbanu Shalom put the Torah of Adam after the Torah of the behem achayavoy, just like in creation. So the Maharal Prague is already aimed on what's the equation, what's the shaychus between the two. But the truth is that if you look in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches, the Gemara brings down four reasons why Adam Harishon was created at the end. And none of them seem to be applicable to this Rav Simloi. Reason number one is for the Tzidukim, that they shouldn't say there was a Shutuf in Ma'ase Bereishis. So Tzidukim shouldn't say that there was some kind of partnership. Ma'ase Bereishis. So Adam was created last. From all the creations of the world, the one that you would think, if somebody would be an apikoros, would think is somewhat of a creator, is a human being. So the human being was created at the end. That shouldn't be a possible discussion. That's reason number one. Reason number two, she'im yizgoeh, if a person will become a bal gaiva, listen, the mosquito came before you. Don't be such a bal gaiva. Those are the first two reasons. So the first two reasons in the Gemara and Sanhedrin have like a negative connotation. In other words, a person should know, you should know your place. Then the Gemara gives two very positive reasons why man was created after all the animals. One is Kadeshi Kones Lemitzvah Miyad. Like this, we created right before Shabbos. We went right into the mitzvah. And then lastly, the Gemara says, Kedei she'ikonis l'sudo miyad. And on that, the Gemara makes an equation to a king who makes a beautiful suda for the ones that are close to him. And of course, he doesn't invite the guests to come, the esteemed guests, prior to preparing for them. Prepares for them, and then they come. You know, there was a whole controversy now this week because some of the celebrities went to Cuba this week. They were issued the government permits, and there's a big tumult because technically that's illegal. Somebody's gonna get thrown under the bus for it. The child is who, but somebody made a big avla because the esteemed people that went, they're not so esteemed, but they they didn't fit the category of having unique State Department qualifications to be able to. But what's interesting is that they say this is common in these type of rogue countries. You know, they like when celebrities come, and they prepare before they come. The celebrities is Altus Rein and Shein. The streets are painted, everything is beautiful. It looks like it's a great country where they treat the people. The celebrities only see the nicest part of the country. The celebrities are not the most sophisticated people as well. So they see, it's like Hollywood. They see the beauty. They come back and they go, it's not so bad. They had the basketball player that wants to make shalom with North Korea. They both, what? Right? Who is it?
Rodman.
I don't know him personally, but Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman came back and he's giving aces as far as the Grace Piquet. Grace Piquet. So, but the idea is that they make it look nice for these guests. And when they come, this is what it is. But Lahavdil, when a king makes a suda, he prepares for the guest. The guest doesn't come in and watch things being cooked. That's not what happens. So that's the Gemara's equation. So basically, the Gemara gives us four reasons. Two have a sort of negative spin on it, that a person shouldn't be a Balgaivil, you shouldn't think a person has a shaykhus to creation. And the last two are positive. How do those things have anything to do with Tumah V'Tahara? What does that have to do with what's going on here in the parish? So that's the Maral Meprags. In Gur Aryeh, he asked it for Akasha. And many other Achronim have a discussion. But obviously, it's trying to bring something out. This is the first Rashi in this week's parish, trying to explain what's going on. Furthermore, and I think this is even more astounding, is that let's think about it. Tumah V'Tahara of an animal. Who is that for? That's also for the Adam. The fact that the elephant is a behemoth to me, it's not halacha lagabi the elephant. That's our halacha. We are not allowed to eat the flesh of an elephant. That's our halacha. That's also teiras Adam. So what do Chazal mean? They seem to be saying, you know, just like in creation the animals got the edge, they were created first, so too they got their Torah before we got ours. What do you mean? Their Torah is our Torah. The monkey doesn't have hilchas. The halachas of koif are not negate the monkey. This time we learned in the daf today that whether you could bring in an erev with a monkey, right? It's not a shaila actually yesterday, right? It depends how far behind you are in the daf. But the fact that the monkey can deliver an erev, the Gemara says, as long as the bardas takes it from the monkey, from the trained monkey, that's negate to us. So how do Chazal seem to be saying there's Torah behemah? And that came first, the Torah's behemah, before the Torah's Adam. So it's so clear. Obviously there's something behind this. What's behind it? And of course, famous Chazal that bases the Leda and Tumah, everything is all combined here, that a woman who gives birth to a child is Mitami. And it's not Tumas Nida. It's Tumas Leda. The Gemara says that even if you can't visualize such a thing happening, but technically, if there would be a Leda's Yabeshta, if there would be a dry delivery, meaning a baby is born with no blood, okay? So technically, there's still Tumas Leda. So Tumas Leda is Matame even if there's no blood at all. The actual birth process makes Tumas. So the Kotzkel, obviously everybody has the question. How could giving birth to a Yiddish in a Shomer create Tumah? How could that be? There's many different answers. In the past I've given different tirutzim. I'm going to tell you a different idea tonight, another pshat. But the Kotzker adds to the question, makes it even more stark. We know that to some level tzaddikim, when they die, Chazal teach us that tzaddikim, they're still alive. To some level, they're not metame. Now again, halachically speaking, we don't apply this rule. But the Midrashim bring it halacha l'maisa. When Rabbi Akiva died, Rabbi Yeshua HaKoyen was metame to him. And he was questioned, how are you being metame to Rabbi Akiva? And he said, well, my Rebbe is not metame. So he actually spoke halacha. Again, this is not in the Shulchan Aruch, halacha l'maisa, that a Koyen can metame for a tzaddik. But there is Kabbalistically speaking, and based on Chazal, that a tzaddik is not matame. Kufach Torah b'chol minei tahara. And one of the explanations given why a tzaddik is not matame is all different kinds of explanations. But amongst them is the fact that when a tzaddik dies, just because he wasn't engraved in this world, Chazal compared it to pulling out a hair. When a rasha dies, Chazal compared it to trying to pull a thorn out of a garment. You know, you can't pull the thorn out, some of the garment comes along with it. Right? It's an invasive process. But when you pull a hair out of a cup of milk, it just goes right out. So Chazal compared a Mises Tzaddik to pulling a hair out of the milk. Meaning, the Tzaddik was never really absorbed in the Gashmias, and therefore the process is not as much of an invasive process. To add to that, we find that Tzaddikim who die b'mises Neshika, where the Malach HaMavis is not involved at all, like Moshe Rabbeinu, then Bechlal is not Shayach Tumi. So ask the Kotzka. The Gemara says in Meseches Tainis, Gimul Mavteches B'yodav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are three keys that are in the hands of only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Rebbeinu Shem doesn't send Shluchim. And one of them is the key of giving birth, of childbirth. The yodah shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalimim suru l'shlich. They weren't given over to a shlich. So Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky Zatzal used to always correct somebody when they would say, who delivered the baby? Rabbi Yankov would always say, give him avteches b'yodah shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be somebody who was a shliach, he assisted a little bit here, Rabbi Yankov would say, he made the mother comfortable. But the Eibishter is mavteich shal leida. So ask the Kotzka, if the Rebbeinu Shel himself is the one that's opening up the womb for the baby to be born, how could that create tumah? Even death, when it's done directly without the Malach HaMavis, you don't have the element of tumah. So here you have a Yiddish and a Shomas coming in the world, and the Eibishter himself is the one that's facilitating it. How could that bring tumah? That's the question. So there's many answers given. But I want to share with you an idea, machshava, that perhaps will shed a little light on this inyan. And this ties into a maisa I recently heard that happened between Chaim Kanievsky, Yibadl Chaim Tovim, and his shver, Rav Eliashiv Zichron Tzadik Livracha. Fascinating Shiloh came to the table. I'll tell you what the Shiloh was, then I'll tell you what the Psak was. The Shiloh was a guy found himself an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. And finally, he found an apartment that had everything he was looking for. The right apartment, it was the right price, the right address. Everything was right, the right neighborhood. There was only one problem. The street name. The name of the street. And his wife wanted him to ask a Shiloh whether they could buy with such a name. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, you have beautiful names. You have Rav Shimon Bayechai, you have Rechov Rav Akiva, you have Myril Diskin, you have Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, you have Rav Kook. The streets up, you can't get better names. The name of this street was Refidim. Refidim is where Amalek came. Ayachnu b'Refidim. So the wife said she doesn't want to move there. The husband said, "Machzach Meshige with names. It's Eretz Yisrael, it's the right apartment, it's the right price, it's the right..." So it's Refidim. Get used to it. So he went to ask a Shaila as to whether he can buy a house on this street. So first I'll tell you the psak, the tentative psak of Reb Chaim. But anybody who goes to Reb Chaim knows that when he asked Reb Chaim a halacha Shaila, he would always defer to his shver. He always would say, go to my shver. You know, he'd hesitate to give a psak halacha in the worst way. So this person came to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said, I would say that whether you could buy the apartment on this street or not is a machlokes between Reb Akiva, Reb Yeshua, and Reb Elazar. Reb Chaim, ask him a shayla. Gan Shas opens up to him. He's thinking, every sugyan Shas that could possibly... He says, I would say it's a machlokes Reb Yeshua and Reb Elazar. So the guy already felt like, you know, his wife wasn't crazy. He thought it's Reb Chaim will go, your wife's crazy. Let us see a psychiatrist. It's totally a machlek. He said, what's a machlek? He says, if you look in Meseches Becheres, Daf Hei Omid Beis, the Gemara brings, Vayachanu Berfidim. when the Jews dwelled in Rephidim. The Gemara says, my Rephidim. What's Rephidim? Rebbe Lezer says that Rephidim Shema. Rephidim, that's the name. The name is Rephidim. That was the name of the place. Rev Yeshua Emel, Sherofu Yedeya Midivrei Teira. The reason why the city is named is Rephidim is because Rofu Yedeya Midivrei Teira. So he says a very interesting thing, Rav Chaim. He says, if you look in the Yin Yankif, he says, you'll see there's a deeper machlekes here between Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Lezer held Rephidim Shema, which means the name of the city impacted them. They dwelled in Rephidim. And from there they came to Rofu Yedeyim and Atarah. They let go of the Torah. So in fact, the name of the location affected them. Rabbi Yeshua says vice versa. He says just the opposite. The name of the town makes no difference. Just the opposite. The crime that they did there was the problem. They named the town after the crime. So it comes out, according to Rebbe Lezer, the name of the city impacted them. And that's why the name of the city was there before they did what they did there. Rebbe Yeshua, on the other hand, who says the name of the city was first given after they did what they did, according to him, the name of the city doesn't impact you. You impact the city, not the city impact. The name of the city impacted. Said Reb Chaim, this is not the end. Says Reb Chaim, says Machlokes Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yeshua. There's a Gemara Nida, Tav Zayin. The Gemara says anywhere in Shas, if there's a Machlokes Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yeshua, the halacha is like Rebbe Yeshua. Halacha is like Rebbe Yeshua. He says, so since the halacha is like Rebbe Yeshua, and Rebbe Yeshua holds that they were Rofu Yedeim and Atarah before, so you could buy the house on Street Rafidim. No problem. He says, however, ask my shver. This is what I have to say, ask my shver. So the guy took a trip to Yerushalayim. Now he felt like his wife at least was educated. His wife had a good cheshbon, but at least Reb Chaim is coming out like him. He comes to Rav Eliashiv, it's a whole different tune. Rav Eliashiv smiles. As soon as he tells him his wife's thing, he says, Rav Eliashiv says, Bini Yisera Nitol Enosh. Your wife is Bini Yisera. And then Rav Eliashiv tells him as follows. He says, my son-in-law is right that when there's a machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. And he's also right that according to the Gemara in Bukharis, Rabbi Yeshua holds that it was what we did that gave the name to the city, not the name of the city that impacted us. So you would say that my son-in-law is right, but I have one objection to my son-in-law's psak. He said Rebbe Lezer was really greater than Rebbe Yeshua. The halach is like Rebbe Yeshua anyway. We find that a lot. Rebbe Meir, the halach is not like Rebbe Meir because they weren't able to be aimed at Safe Daite. Beishamai. See, Rebbe Yashiv told him as follows. He said, all these Gemaras and Shas that say the halach is like this one, not like that one, that's in this world. That's in this world. You know, Shemayim? Halacha could be like Rebbe Lezer. He said, the question of whether your city will impact you or not, or your street will impact you, that's a Shemayim inyan. That's not a Shulchan Aruch inyan. On that, halacha could be like Rebbe Lezer. So he said, so even though my son-in-law said that you go like Rebbe Yeshua, you know, needless to say, Rebbe Chaim would of course reverse his psak if Rebbe Yashiv says that. But Rebbe Yashiv kept the guy. That wasn't Rebbe Yashiv's final word. His final word was like Rebbe Chaim. For a different reason. In Sfora, he held that the guy's wife was right. But I'm going to tell you what he said. And that's, I think, is in the coup de gadel here. I think we could say is like this. All these reasons found in the Gemara why human being was created at the end. So I said some of them sound negative, some of them sound positive. I believe they're all telling us one thing. The fact that the Tzidukim would say that the could be a man was involved in creation, the fact that a person will be a Baal Gaiva, the fact that he should do a mitzvah right away, the fact that he should come to the Suda prepared, it's all telling us one idea. It's one idea. And that's the idea that's being conveyed to us here in the Torah. That's the idea that's being conveyed. And I think the pshat is like this. We know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, you know, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, he said a pshat, which, when I saw this Rabbi Chanan, I was still in high school when I read this letter from Rabbi Chanan. It was in a letter. First time I saw it was in a letter form. It enlightened me then, as a high school boy, as to what the world is about. Rabbi Chanan, you know, a lot of times you meet people, and they portray such negative characteristics that you can't believe it. You can't believe a human being should have such a negative evil or haches. You wonder where it comes from. So Rabbi Chanan in this letter, it's a beautiful, beautiful letter and a beautiful explanation. He says, if you look in the Medrash, when Hashem created Adam HaRishon, He created him from all the beasts of the world. That means the human being was created with all the DNA of all the creations of the world. Rabbi Chanan said, what does that mean? That means the most vicious beast also has a place in a human being. The human being was made up of everything. Hashem took all of the creations and He made Adam. That means Adam has in him every... When you see a person acts like a behemoth, selikdoten. It's in there. When they take a pig's valve and it fits a human being, there's a reason for it. When they say the rat has certain tendencies, there's a connection. He says, and if not for the Torah, and if not for the guide in life, those inclinations can take you over. Don't think a human being, you're blessed, that without guidance, you're automatically superior. Not automatically superior. You have all the potential. Just like you have potential to be tremendous, all of the negative things that we know about, you have the potential to have them as well. He says, and that's the Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. That's what the Torah is all about. To guide a person. To develop a person. But don't think that the human being is immune from these characteristics. I was thinking, according to this Rebbe Chanan, besides that in the world, it opens up our eyes when we look around in the world. But I was thinking, it sheds a whole new light on Tumah V'Tahara, on the fact that you can't eat certain animals. So Chazal tells the Rambam says in Moir Nevuchim that certain animals, the animals that you can't eat, the treif animals, they're moil with bad midas. They give you bad characteristics. They themselves have bad characteristics. And they are moiled bad character, negative characteristics. I was thinking, according to Rabbi Chanan, it's much deeper than that. There's a connection. If a person would go and eat a pig, there's a pig in him that can connect. It's not just a stam. There is in you that potential. Whatever the negative characteristic is, we have it. The potential is there. And that's the machol sasos. No elephant, go through Sefer Shira, no monkey, is ever capable of being Kofer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Masa Yod of Magid HaRekia. Right? The Oirev, the raven, praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even the vicious of the creations. It's only the human being that has the capacity to be Kofer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, we have the tremendous capacity to bring the biggest Kavod Shamayim. But it's only us. So when Chazal talk about us being created last, because we have kedei that they shouldn't say is a shut of a ma'aseh bereishis, it's only because of the potential destructive behavior of the human being. When Chazal say that a human being was created, so he should go immediately into Shabbos, that's because if the human being would have been created first, and he would have had a whole week before he goes into Shabbos. Who knows what kind of destruction could have come out? Look what happened in a couple hours of Shabbos. Look at all the death that we have today in the world happened a couple hours before Shabbos. Imagine if the human being was created a week before Shabbos. So when Chazal say Kidei Sheicholeis L'mitzvah Miyad, it's the same idea. We have a tremendous responsibility. We have the upside for a human being is the highest level, and the downside is on a tremendous level. When a woman gives birth to a child, she has to know there's a potential of tumah here. Because she gave birth to a being that has tremendous upside, and chas v'sholem, a downside. And if there would just be al-sirein and shein, tahara, 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 that wouldn't be good. So the Rabbanu Shem gave certain days of Tumah. Of course, then the Rabbanu Shem showed us that the human being's upside is much greater. So 7 days of Tumah, there's 33 days of Tahara. Right? For the woman's 14 days of Tumah, there's, for the Nekeva, there's 66 days of Tahara. But the first lesson is that the human being has a downside. Don't think it's Tahara. There is potential of Tumah. And that's why when the child is born, that's immediate. And the same lesson the Eibishter taught us with the behemoth. Before the Eibishter started talking to us, before we created, the Eibishter already said, you should know, these are behemoths you can't eat because you have these natures. You have this potential. All of these negative characteristics can take you over. So that's why the behemoths and all these things were listed before human being was created, to let us know that we're made up of everything we read in Parsha Shmini. All those things created the Isha Kisazria. And we have to know that. In order for us to take advantage of the upside, we have to know the danger of the downside. Oili mi yitzri, oili mi yitzri. It's part of our creation. We just had that in the daf as well, over Pesach. That's our being. And that's what Parshas Tazria is coming to learn. Parshas Tazria is coming to teach us that in order for us to reach the Tahara, we have to know the potential of Tumah that the human being has. And without knowing that, then we can't even begin. We can't even begin to go up the Aliyah of life without knowing of this Nekuda. And I believe that's the lesson of Rav Simloy. Rav Simloy is coming to say, know where you come from. Know what your potential is. Know what the downside is in order that you'll be able to see the upside. If you don't know what the downside is, you won't be able to see the upside, chas v'shalom. And that's the Hagdom of Parshas Shmini. So when we talk about Teres Behema Chaya V'Oif, what Chazal mean is, just like in creation, they were created first, and they were actually what made who we are, so too it's Kach in our lives. They are part of us. These Behemoths, Chaya V'Oif, is all part of us. And we have that Shlichus in life to overcome them. Comes Rav Eliashiv. And Rav Eliashiv says, the truth is, that Rafidim could impact you. He says, but you know what? Maybe if you live on a street like Rafidim, you'll never be Merapa Yodim in Atoga. If every time you go up your street, you know, hey, there's potential after Kriyas Yamsuf, Rafu Yodim in Atoga, that will make sure that you don't. Knowing that there's that exists, knowing that you can never be sure of yourself. When did Rafidim happen? 7 days after Kriyas Yamsuf. So Rav Eliashiv said, you know what? Buy the apartment, but don't be Mesich Das. Always remember Rafu Yudayim and Atera. He says, and through that, you'll use that as an aliyah. Okay.
Anybody interested in davening Myers now?
The purpose of the pig valve is to avoid...
If that one time, I just want to make sure, for those who davened already, you could count Sfira now. You having a minion now or not? There's no minion?
Everybody else daven?
So let's just have a sphere. Okay? You count the sphere?
With the smile, with the rose.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So you can count? It's better she should stop. Amen.
The pig valve, the purpose, one major purpose is to avoid the mechanical valve, which would require Coumadin lifelong, which increases the chance of the
stroke,
brain to bleed, etc. Right. So the child is that
not brain, it's not carriage, right?
Should the person avoid the pig valve?
That seems like it would increase his medical needs. I think counts three just now.
Avoiding getting
the pig valve. Plus 15.
Yeah.